Happy Sunday, happy Sunday. How's everybody doing today? Hey, can I have all y'all stand up? It's so good to be back. Miss being with y'all for the last few weeks or so. Hey, thank you very much. Good to be back. Thank you very much. I want to give a shout out to all the team members and the staff and the sound light video people, the worship people, all the preachers that have been preaching for the last several weeks as I've been going. Let's give them a big hand. God bless y'all. I am so excited about this series. I've been preparing for it for a while, praying for y'all, praying that God would give you revelation. Our world is continually to fall apart. Can I get an amen? We have an election coming up, which is going to be a lot of tension, a lot of conflict. We have the war in the Middle East and all the other wars around the world. We have Olympic drama, just stuff happening. And we need to always remember and keep in mind that Jesus is on the throne. That's who we serve, and that's who we're going to honor. Can I get amen? Amen. Amen. So we're going to start a series today called Eyes to See, and hopefully God would open up your eyes to the spiritual battle that we're all in so we can walk more consistently with the Word of God and leverage more of the authority and power He has given you, because we have authority and power that God has given you. Amen. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, we want to acknowledge that you are here. We want to acknowledge that you love us, that you have a great plan for our life. We want to acknowledge that the devil is real and he is tricky. He's smart. He's deceptive. He's a liar. But you are smarter than him. You have truth. Your glory outshines his, and we trust you. And so we want to live for you. We don't want to live in between two worlds, in between two kingdoms. We want to be committed to the kingdom of God. And we want to resist the devil, and he will flee, the Bible says. So I pray that we take a moment today and in this message to make a decision that we are going to engage in the spiritual warfare that we are in by default. We cannot avoid it, but we can walk victoriously in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Look, someone next to you say, you better get ready. Let's go. Hey, can I give a shout out to all the athletes in the Olympics, the USA athletes that are kicking butt? Come on now. I cry almost every day seeing our athletes do what they do. It's just so inspiring. Growing up as a kid, that was one of my favorite events. Anyway, y'all doing good today? Very good, very good. If you're not doing good today, we are so glad you're here. I'm trusting that God is going to encourage you today, no matter what you're going through. Recently, I was talking to an atheist, and I was sharing my faith, and they asked me a question. They said, if there is really a loving, powerful God, why is there so much evil and division on the earth? I said, fair question. I said, how do you know what evil is unless you know what good is? How do you know what unloving and hate is unless you know what love is? The only reason you know that is because God has set the standard for what is right. He has set the standard for what is wrong. He has set the standard for what is love. And if you take God out of the equation, and there is no God who sets the standard for love, then love is whatever you make it. Right and wrong is whatever you make it. And you have no right to tell someone that their behavior is wrong or right, because it's all your personal truth. I may want to come up to you and smack you in the head because that's my truth. And you can't tell me it's wrong unless there is a standard of right and wrong. There are a lot of people who live in a world where there is no God, there is no devil, it's just whatever you make it, and they have their own rules they're walking by. Unfortunately, what you believe does not make something true. I can believe that I can fly. There was a song, I believe I can fly. Sounds like a great idea, but you can't. And you can believe that all you want, but go jump off the building, and 100% of the time, you're gonna die. And so what you believe, it doesn't matter unless what you believe is based on fact. Here's the fact. There is the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of the devil. The kingdom of God is about truth. The kingdom of the devil is about lies. The kingdom of God is about life. The kingdom of the devil is about death. And you have to choose which today and every day, which God you are going to serve. Now, you can choose to ignore the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil and just live on your own. Unfortunately, you are by default created in the image of God, and by default, you are enemy of the devil, and by default, you are in this spiritual warfare. And if you ignore the spiritual warfare, you lose, because the devil's going to get in your head and tell you everything you want to know and want to hear, and you will bow down to that without even realizing it, and then you lose. So in this series, we are hoping, my desire is that God would open your eyes to see the spiritual battle, the two kingdoms, and how you are in the middle fighting in this spiritual warfare. And you can see the spiritual warfare in your life. And you could go, oh snap, that person is being a voice for the devil right now. Oh snap, that person is being a voice of God right now. Oh snap, what's happening in my head right now is the devil speaking to me. My prayer is that God would open your eyes over these next 6 weeks and you will start to see that and make decisions based on those facts and make decisions based on the fact that you want to obey God and resist the devil and he will flee. The Bible says if you resist the devil, he will flee. So over the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk today about the goodness of God. I'll talk all about that in a minute. Next week, we're going to talk about how God made us body, soul, and spirit. How is it that we react and respond and interact with God and the devil? How does that work? We're gonna talk about that next week. Week after that, we're gonna talk about the devil and how he brought sin and death into the world. Because how he did it in the beginning, he's doing it with you and me every day. The week after that, we're gonna talk about how Jesus came to defeat the devil and what template he gave us. And then the last 2 weeks, we're gonna talk about the internal thing that we go through in our head and mind. So today, we're gonna talk about the goodness of God. Now, we're going to read in Genesis chapter 2. And in Genesis chapter 2, there was no sin on the earth, no death, no lying, no murder, no disease. Just imagine that. There was nothing was wrong. Everything was perfect. And when we read this, what we're going to learn about is the character of God. That God is a generous provider of everything you need, period. God wants to bless you. Say, God wants to bless me. He really does. He's not this God up there looking to get you. That's a lie from the devil. He wants to bless you. He made you marvelous. Everyone say marvelous. You know, you say it every day in the morning. You look in the mirror and go, I am marvelous. Come on, give me, say it from like Harvard. Say, I'm marvelous. Give me your hands. Say, I am marvelous. Very good. Look at the person next to you and say, I am marvelous. The only reason you are marvelous is because a marvelous God made you. And he didn't make a mistake. And so what we're going to read in Genesis chapter 2 is what God made. And after God made it, he said it was good. Period. That's all we're going to talk about today. And my encouragement to you this week, as we go into next week, that all you do this week is you thank God for how marvelous he is. Be grateful. Because I would bet, and I don't know hardly what y'all do in your minds all day. I don't know what any of y'all do in your minds all day. But I would bet, tell me if I'm wrong, that you spend more time complaining about what you don't have than thanking God for what you do have. But let's admit it. Can anybody admit that that's you? Come on, raise your hand. Because some of y'all ain't raising your hand at all. Y'all, he don't know me. I'm grateful for everything I got. Okay, then I stand corrected. But I don't believe you. Well, here's what I can tell you. I know what comes out of people's mouth is more negative than positive. And so if this week, all you could do is thank God for what I'm getting ready to read to you, he gave you, and acknowledge that in this spiritual war, God is a giver of good gifts. And all the other evil came from somewhere else. Genesis chapter 2. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now, the name of God in the Bible, one of the names of God is Yahweh. Everyone say Yahweh. Yahweh is a word that you can say without using your tongue. Yahweh. Everyone take a deep breath in. Take a deep breath out. Listen to the breathing around the room. Say, take a breath in. Yahweh. Yahweh. The first word out of your mouth when you were born was God's name. The last word out of your mouth when you take your last breath will be Yahweh. God is good. Can I get amen? I only read one verse so far. Look what it says. The Lord God planted a garden in the east of Eden, and there he put the man whom he formed. Out of the ground, the Lord God made the man, made every tree of the garden to grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the middle of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now the river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first was Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes towards the east of Assyria. The fourth is the Euphrates. Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat, you shall die. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a man, and he brought it to the man. And by the way, the rib is the only rib bone in your body that will grow back. Interesting. Adam said, now, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was fine. You'll get that later when you're driving home. You'll get it. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Seven things, hopefully I'm going to get to in our time, of what God gave. Number one, God provided an environment for us to thrive in. The Bible says in Genesis 1:31, God saw everything he made, and indeed it was very good. So evening and morning were of the sixth day. Everything God made for Adam and Eve in their environment, the air, the water, the ground, the plants, the animals, the birds, the fish, and every living thing had a seed in of itself to reproduce itself, so Adam and Eve didn't have to remake everything. Everything he made to create an environment for them to thrive in. And not only did he make all this stuff in the environment, but everything God made was already full grown. For example, when he made the tree with the apples were already there. Adam and Eve couldn't eat an apple that was going to grow a year later. All the fruits and vegetables were already grown. All the animals were full grown. Adam and Eve were full grown. He told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Imagine if they were 1 year old, they wouldn't know what that meant. They wouldn't be able to do it. They were already full grown. When he put the sun in the sky and the stars in the sky and the moon, they were there to govern the day and the night and the force and the 12 months of the year, all the seasons of the year. All the light from the stars were already at the earth. Matter of fact, I was reading up yesterday about the furthest star from the earth. It's called Arendelle. And Arendelle literally means morning star, which is one of Jesus' names. And this star is 12.9 billion light years away. A light year is the distance light travels in a year. This star is 12.9 billion light years. A light year is 6 trillion miles. So if you multiply 6 trillion miles times 12.9 billion, you get a number that doesn't have a name. It's just really big. So they figure because this light, this star is 50 times the size of the sun and million times brighter, that light must have taken all these trillions of years to get here. Therefore, that must be the age of the universe. Well, the problem is when God created the universe, he created with the light already here. He created Adam and Eve already adults. What does this mean? That everything God has prepared for you is already full grown. The opportunities that God has for you are already full grown. The relationships he has for you are already full grown. And if you think I gotta do all this work to get to where I gotta go, God already has it mapped out for you. And you may be hearing in your head, I gotta do this, I'm not ready, I gotta climb this big mountain. And God is like, will you just trust me? Because as you look at all the things God made for us and all the things God created in creation, there was nothing negative about it. And the first thing it says, I have an environment, opportunities, relationships already waiting for you to walk into. You just need to trust me. And you just wake up every day and say, God, even if you hear in your head, today's gonna be a bad day. How many of y'all wake up in the morning and before you even open your eyes, you feel like a weight on your chest? Like, don't even get out of bed, you're a failure. Anybody? No? Okay. How about this? I feel almost every day. Just don't get out of bed. You're a failure. And I literally have to sit there and go, okay, breathe. And fight that with the truth that God created me, gave me purpose. He has opportunity. Today's gonna be a great day. Because that's the battle. And what I'm telling you here is that God's already created an environment for you ready to go. You walking into pulling fruits off the tree, it's already there. You're breathing air, it's already there. You're drinking water, it's already there. You're walking into relationships and opportunities, that's already there. But if you don't believe that and you walk around telling yourself, it's never gonna happen, I don't know what I'm gonna do, it's so hard. That's what the devil wants you to believe. That's the war. That's the war. But today we're only focusing on what God has done. God has done. And God is the giver of all good gifts and every single one of you. Now, let me tell you something. I am not saying that just because you got an idea to start a multi-million dollar affiliate marketing business and it's going to happen in 2 days. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm not even saying that's what you should do. But whatever God has called you to do, it's lined up. There is no way on planet Earth that I should have come from the football team I came from in New Haven, Connecticut. That was a Division III school. And one of our games, we had 15 people. Literally. I have the newspaper article to prove it. My mother, my father, my sister, 15 people. There is no way on planet Earth that I should have gotten to the NFL. Now, was I good? Yeah, I would say that. But there was a whole bunch of guys at bigger schools. And you know what God said? I got a plan for you. Got an assignment. Number two, God is provides a personal design for you to thrive. The Bible says in Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let us have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over all the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created a male and female. Next week, I'm gonna deal with just this verse because the Bible says that God made us body. And we'll say body. Say soul. Say spirit. God created us body, soul, and spirit in a perfect way that we can have a relationship with him. That we can talk to him. He can talk to us. He can guide us. So he made an environment perfectly suited for our success. Then he made us marvelously and wonderfully designed so we could have relationship with him and walk with him. My granddaughter is here. She is 15, 16 months old, and she just started walking. And the first video I got of her walking, she was walking like she was drunk. She was, her right arm kept, you know, jumping out here to get balance. And she was walking like this. And as she was walking and stumbling, her brother, who's 10, walked up next to her and grabbed her hand. And so she's walking like this. And as soon as he grabbed the hand, she started walking like this. God made us in his image so he can live inside of us and walk with us. He didn't make you and make us and put us down there and say, go figure it out. He says, I want to live inside of you and walk with you and guide you and speak to you and encourage you and love you and bless you and give you ideas and show you how I made you with specific gifts and talents. And I'm going to show you the opportunities I made you. That's what God did. Not to beat you down, not to discourage you, not to tell you what you're not, but to tell you what you are. So first, God made an environment. Then he made us in his image. And then thirdly, God provided a purpose for us to thrive. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden and said, take care of it. Work is good. Even in the Garden of Eden, there is work. If you ever think, oh, I'm going to grow up and I'm gonna get rich and I'm going to retire and I'm not going to work, that's not biblical. If you do that, you'll just crumble up and die. There ain't but so many dinners you can eat out in restaurants. There ain't so many cruises you can go on. God did not make us to just do nothing. He made us to work. It doesn't mean you got to, you know, be breaking bricks on the side of the freeway. But he gave us a purpose to manage and steward his creation in a way that honors him. And he's given you authority to do that. But your purpose is, Lord, here at my job, here at my role as a parent, here's my role as a grandparent, here's my role as an executive, here's my role as working McDonald's, flipping burgers, whatever it is. He says, I want you to honor me in how you do that. That's your purpose. So when people watch you, they don't only watch how you work, they watch your product. It honors me and glorifies me. And in Adam and Eve's case, glorifies what I made. So here we are. God made the heavens and the earth. Everything's good. He made man in his image so he can have a relationship with him. He gave man purpose. He made an environment that's fully grown, and the pantry is fully stocked with food and all crackers, whatever you like. Everything's set for you to be successful. And number four, the Bible says God provided authority to thrive. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God said, I'm going to make you supreme being on earth. Even the animals are going to respect you. God has given me as the pastor of this church authority over not you as a person, over the environment. And my job as the authority over the environment is to create an environment when you walk into the room, you experience God. My job is to help you experience God, not us. Your job is to create an environment and exercise the authority God has given you that people would experience the love of God, the patience of God, and the glory of God. And having authority over something doesn't mean you're the boss. It also means that God is going to open up opportunities for you that someone else might have got because they have more credit than you, more education than you, more experience than you. Matter of fact, my wife and I, 15 years ago or so, we were getting death threats and we were having people come to our house and they were approaching her in the garage and leaving stuff at my house and she was getting scared. So we had to go find a safer place to live. And so make a long story short, we found this place. It was gated, blah, 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 blah. And when we found it, they were offering this piece of land for a low ball price and a high ball price. It was a range. And my friend said to me, it was a real estate guy. I said, hey, what should I do? He said, offer the low price. I was like, cool. So between the time he told me to offer the low price and the time I actually did it, someone offered the top price. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna lose it. This is from God. I'm supposed to have this land. I'm tripping. I said, what do I do? Do I offer more? He said, nope, offer the low price. I said, but that doesn't make sense. Why would I offer a price lower than I know what they already got? He said, offer the low price. I was like, all right. So offered the low price. They gave us the house. They gave us the land. Why? Because God, for some reason, God said, that's where you're gonna live. Now, you gotta be real careful, because I know Christians who do this. They'll walk up to a girl and say, God told me you're gonna marry me. Say this for me. Brother, please. Brother, please. It don't work like that. However, when God has given you authority, and when you walk in God's authority, which is consistent with his purpose, which is consistent with your design, which is consistent with his eternal purpose for your life and things in his kingdom, no one can get in your way as long as you walk in his purpose his way. But you can't walk in his purpose with attitude, with pride and arrogance, because that's not his way. That's not from his kingdom. And so God has given you authority. He's given you environment. He's given you purpose. He's given you design. And it's like, this is all stacking up to be good things, because I know all day long on social media, on the news, in your gossip water cooler talking, you're hearing garbage. What you're not, what you're never gonna be, who you gotta backstab, how you gotta bring somebody down. That's all from the kingdom of darkness. It has nothing to do with chapter 2 in Genesis. And if you every day can be thankful for how God made you, instead of being resentful for how God made you. I wish I had hair like that. You don't need hair like that. It's not even real. I wish I had a figure like that. It may not be real. But still, you think that's gonna change? That's not gonna change you. Let me move on. Number five, God has provided boundaries for which within you can thrive. Genesis 2:16, the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But the tree of the garden, which is in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in that day you eat, you shall surely die. Here's what God said. God said, listen, you're in paradise. You can eat from any tree in the garden. I've given you a wife, have babies. Just stay away from that one tree. Now, if that sounds like an amazing deal, raise your hand. We're gonna see in 2 weeks how the devil will trick you to think that's a bad deal. That out of all the blessings, and I'll say it now, I know I'm gonna say it again in 2 weeks, but I'm gonna say it now anyway because it's so good. Out of all the blessings God has given you, the devil has you focusing on what you don't have. I wish I had a hair. What's wrong with your hair? I wish I had her man. That's why you don't have a man. I wish I had his woman. It goes both ways. I wish I had that car. If I only had that car, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't be happy, because cars don't make you happy. Relationship with God makes you happy. And so the devil, and by the way, if I can be super, 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 super clear, this is the bullseye of spiritual warfare. It's what's going on here. Are you listening to the devil, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of the devil? But all I'm describing to you here is that God made everything good. There's nothing bad. So when you start talking about all this bad stuff, it ain't God. And everything that God has offered you that's good is still available to you right now. An environment is available to you. These boundaries are available to you. Your purpose is available to you. Your design, you're still made in the image of God. And by the way, you may be, no matter your lifestyle, you're still made in the image of God. It doesn't mean you're living it, but you're still made in the image of God. And you may encounter people who are transgender and they got different lifestyles, whatever, they're still made in the image of God. You gotta speak to that. It doesn't mean that how we live reflects God, but how he made us is redeemable to God. Number six, God provided perfect companion relations for us to thrive in. Now, You may say, well, I'm 90 years old and I'm not gonna get married. Listen, all this stuff is time related. In other words, you can't go back to when you were little. Like, for example, when I was little, I was a running back when I was 10 years old, and playing running back in football was my favorite position. I think it was the best thing I could do. But when I got into high school, I stopped playing it because they wouldn't let me. It breaks my heart. Even now, it's just like, I'm just mad. Because I know we could have won state. So I can't go back to that. So there's some things you can't go back to that, okay, I'm going to go back and start over. No, but starting today, if you say, Lord, I am thankful that even this is true, that you have provided a companion for me today. It may not be, if you're single, it may not be a wife, but there are people in my life, because you cannot do life alone. There are people in my life that you're going to send into my life to help me get from here to where I got to go. There are people, and if you say to God, I'm telling you, I'm living this right now. I'm living this in the moment, because I met somebody an hour ago. Since the first service, that is this answer to me in my life. I pray to answer the prayer for me in this life. Where you could say, Lord, I need someone who has this wisdom. I need someone who can help me with this. How many of y'all have a need in your life? Something you want to learn, something you want to accomplish. Raise your hand. Keep your hand up. You should thank God that person, those people that can help you do that, are there. They're somewhere. If you say, God, please show me who that person is, God's going to say, they're right there. You mean Uncle Charlie? Yeah. Uncle Charlie got 2 PhDs in that. You didn't know that? No, I thought Uncle Charlie was a drunk. He's not a drunk. He's just weird. Let me land this plane. Number 7, God has provided discernment to choose. Look what the Bible says. Chapter 2, verse 19, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called these living creatures, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the birds of the air, and every beast of the field. Listen, do you know we still do this today? Watch the Discovery Channel. I'm not joking. We just discovered this bird is called the Shakatikadikabakashinabe. Well, who says so? Some dude in a lab gave it a name. We do this still. You have intelligence. More than you think. The devil's trying to tell you you're stupid. You need 5 degrees. There ain't nothing wrong with 5 degrees. There ain't nothing wrong with degrees. But there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. You have to understand that God, speak to me. The difference between knowledge and wisdom is to understand that a tomato is a fruit, but you never put it in a fruit salad. Knowledge is tomatoes a fruit. It is a fruit, comes from a flower, it is a fruit. But you never put it in a fruit salad because we don't treat it as a fruit. The difference between knowledge and wisdom is that you have information, but wisdom is, God, what do you want me to do? God has given you wisdom, just ask him. So here's where we're gonna land this plane real quick, is that today, God has weaved in your life and your culture amidst all the garbage that our culture has, all the lies, all the social media junk, all of the news media. Amidst all that is an amazing environment that God has created for you to win. God, show it to me. Open my eyes. He made you in his image. No one can take that away. You may have destroyed brain cells doing drugs. I did for 8 years. You may have messed up your life, and we get all that. But still, you are made in God's image. God has given you a purpose. God has given you authority. God has given you relationships. God, show me. Piece together a new life for me. Now, this is warfare. The devil's gonna come and tell you everything I said was garbage. He don't know your life. He don't know what you've been through. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I go through every day. You think this is my life? This is the easiest, funnest part I think of my life I do. I deal with demons every day. Every day. Just like you. And maybe at some level more. That's part of the battle. That's the battle. So you have to say, God, I want to focus on what you have for me. So I'm going to ask you to get your communion cup out real quick. I'm going to read something to you. It's going to be on the screen. And we're going to put this on our website so you can get it. You can take a picture of it, but I know you got your communion cups. But I want you to this week to focus on being thankful. Everyone say thankful. I want you to focus this week not on, oh, my life's not going to be good. Oh, what am I going to do? I need to. No, no. God, thank you. Thank you for what I don't see. But I want to see it. Because if you can't get this part, the next series is going to be, the next sermons are going to be difficult because you're going to be focused on the negative all the time. But you have to realize that this is true. So let's read this real quick. This is a review of what we just did. I'm just going to read it to you. God, thank you for providing an environment for me to thrive in. Please give me eyes to see it. God, thank you for designing me in your image. Please give me eyes to see the potential of my incredible design. God, thank you for giving me an internal purpose. Please give me eyes to see how to fulfill it for all that it's worth. God, thank you for the authority to fulfill my purpose. Please give me eyes to see the authority you've given me. Please give me eyes to see the boundaries of life and death. God, thank you for the ability to live in relationship with people who love and care for me. Please give me eyes to see how to enjoy them. God, thank you for the discernment on how to shape the world around me. Please give me eyes to see the right relationships and opportunities you have provided. Please go to our website and just say that this week. It only takes a minute. And when you hear negativity come into your mind, shut it down. It's from the devil. It's not from God. Take that thought captive and say, no, I'm going to say that. I'm going to be thankful. God, thank you. Lord, we thank you for your death on the cross. And before we take communion, this is an act to remember and acknowledge and reaffirm our commitment to a Savior who died and rose from the dead. If you have never asked Jesus to be your Savior, we would like to give you the opportunity before we take communion. If you do not ask Christ to be your Savior and have never have, we ask you not to take communion until you do. But if you would like to right now receive Christ as your Savior to forgive you of your sins, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that the penalty of sin is death. I believe you died and rose from the dead for my sin. I confess my sin to you. I repent. I want to be your disciple. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, just slip your hand up really high so I can see you and pray for you. God bless 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 all of you all around the room. God bless you. Lord, thank you so much for those hands. In Jesus' name, in the nombre de Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer and raised your hand, at the end of the service, we're going to give you a next step. Pastor Travis is going to tell you what to do because we want to help you in your relationship with God. Lord, we thank you for your sinless blood that was shed on the cross. And we acknowledge that your sinless blood pays for our sin. It breaks down the wall between us and you that sin has built. We are truly reconciled with our Father. So we take this in remembrance that this is the blood of the new covenant for the forgiveness of sin. In Jesus' name, amen.